You know, I just care about winning, and I'll put winning above ego anytime. Whatever industry you pick, if you outwork everybody, if you try to be a little smarter than everybody, if you try to be a better salesperson than everybody, if you try to be better prepared than everybody, you've got your best chance, because if you don't do it and somebody else does, you know, I have the saying, work like someone's trying to take it all away from you. And that's kind of the way I look at it. The greatest source of your paranoia should be knowledge. If someone else knows more than you do, and if you're not learning, if you don't know how to learn, if you don't have a thirst for learning and acquiring information, you're SOL.
What would you say is the number one reason why people fail?
Lack of brains, lack of effort. They don't do the work, they don't learn, you know. When you start a business and you start to talk about somebody, you're never in a vacuum with no competition, you know, unless you're just extremely lucky. And if there's going to be competition, that means somebody else knows your business as well as you do when you get started. And if you walk into a competitive environment and they still know more about the business than you do and more about your customers, you're going to lose. But most people don't consider that. They don't do the work. They don't learn more about their industry. They don't know even about their business. I mean, and so you've got to put in the effort to know more about your industry than anybody else. And that's the brains part, and that's the effort part as well. Because look, if you're competing with me, you better know what you're doing. Otherwise, I'm going to kick your ass, you know, and you're not going to outwork me. And so, you know, the combination is usually what kills businesses early on more than anything. Whatever business you have, there's somebody trying to put you out of business. There's somebody trying to take a bite out of mm-hmm. your business, mm-hmm. and it's better for you to figure out how they're going to do it rather than they do it. So, that's being paranoid. And so you have to be paranoid. You have to anticipate other people's next moves, and you can't ever, you know, downplay the competition. You know, they're out there trying to take you down, and they're not just going to sit still. And if you're good, really, really good, you're going to inspire them to work even harder, faster, better. And so you have to be, you know, very self-aware of what you're good at and what other people are good at. And I mean, it's very helpful.
You got a lot of people that say forget about school, you know,
they're
drop
idiots.
Out of school.
They're idiots.
So you think they're idiots.
They're idiots.
Tell me why.
If you're going to have and run a business, if you don't understand accounting, you're already behind the eight ball. There's people that don't understand the concept of, you know, the difference between profits and cash. Look, if you're so self-motivated that you can take an online course in accounting and teach yourself everything, you're way ahead of the game anyways. But most people aren't. And I'm not saying you have to go to Indiana. I'm not saying go to an expensive school. I don't care if you go to a community college and take accounting and spend $99 for the class. Accounting, finance, lesser extent marketing, sales, if the school offers that, that's the language of business. And so while it's possible to teach yourself these things, and while it's possible to hire them, when you're starting your own company, you don't want to have to spend money hiring an accountant, right? You're already probably going to have to hire a lawyer to set up if you've gone through all these classes, you probably don't have to hire a lawyer to incorporate, right? You probably figure out yourself. And so your cost of opening up a business drops, but even more important than all that, that's the blocking and tackling. That's the language of business. You know, the thing I learned at Indiana that was more important than anything else, I learned how to learn. And learning became far more important to me, because the one certainty in business is that it's always going to be changing. If you're not always learning, if I'm not continuously learning, if I'm not just absorbing as much as I can absorb, someone else is going to kick my ass. I knew I was wired to be excited about business. There's certain guys that have the genetics to jump out of the gym, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There's certain guys, you know, that, you know, when they golf, they have the muscle memory and the discipline. You know, Dirk Nowitzki may not be the most talented guy in the NBA, but his discipline and his focus to do what's necessary to be successful, he's willing to do, and combine it with being 7 feet tall and being skilled, you know, it makes him an amazing basketball player. So it's understanding what your skill set is, finding the right place to use those skills, and then going for it. You know, will that make you 250 grand? It depends if you pick the right industry.
You could, within a 5-10 minute interview, say, this dude's not gonna make it as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, I can typically tell, right? I can tell by their passion, I can tell by their focus, I can tell by their preparation. You know, there's a whole realm of things in any business. Here, you know, here's the business you're in, and here's 1,000 things that influence whether or not you're going to be successful. And really, to me, by you know, through my experience in businesses, I can put myself in his position and say, okay, here are 900 of the 1,000 things he has to be aware of, and then go through and ask. And by how many of those or her issues they've been able to address already, that kind of gives me a sense of how hard they're willing to work. You know, and I can tell by the questions they ask me. So all I have to do is say, okay, what do you want to know? And, you know, when they start saying, what should I do? And I want them to ask questions, but, you know, people like to say, you know, the only stupid questions are the ones you don't ask, and that's not right, right? Because the questions you ask tell me, tell whoever, more about you than anything else you do. Because in particular, it tells me about your preparation. If you ask me questions about just basic things that you should have known and you should have down to science, that's going to disqualify you almost more than anything.
How does one entrepreneur increase the speed and areas that they can increase? There's certain things you can't control.
Speed in what way?
Speed of growing your business.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it just depends. You've got to know your own skill set, right? And you've got to know how that fits within your company's life cycle. You know, some companies are slow grind, and you just have to understand that, and you've just got to bide your time until it starts to click, and then grow with it quickly. You know, if you're trying to release a product that needs to be ubiquitous, you've got to go as fast as you can, and then, you know, there's a lot of people who will say, you know, perfection is the enemy of profitability, right? And that doesn't mean you have to wait till it's a perfect product. It really just depends on what the product is. It, you know, a barbershop, right? Is it an app? Is it a service? Is it a product? But, you know, the key is looking for the low-hanging fruit. What customers are willing to write you a check or commit to it, you know, so that they're willing to integrate it into their daily lives or integrate it into their daily business. And so getting a commitment either through time or revenue is typically what I look for. And so if I can get a commitment, then I'm going to be able to learn. I'm going to see how they use it. Do they sustain usage? And then once I get the next one, you know, hopefully it came a little bit faster than the first one. Then I can ask for referrals, and then the next one, then the next one, and I just try to ramp it up. You know, when I bought the Mavs, we had no season ticket holder base. And so literally it was a matter of just putting a list of former season ticket holders in a white pages back then, you know, on my desk next to my phone and making phone calls.
You?
Yeah, me. Yeah, because if I'm not going to do it, so how can I expect someone else to do it, right? So just get on the phone. Hey, this is Mark Cuban. I'm the new owner of the Dallas Mavericks. You know, I'd like to invite you back for a game. It's not, though. This is my business. Yeah. You know, and that's fine and good, right? Because everybody's got their own goals, right? But still, I didn't want anybody at the Mavs to be able to say, well, he's not willing to do the work, right? There's, you know, if I walk around, I'm picking up all the papers. I'm not saying go get that picked up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's trash. I'm picking it up. But in terms of speed of growth, it's really, you got to get that first customer first. And then when you get that first, what did you learn? Reiterate, get that next customer. And then hopefully as you learn more and more through the process, then the next one becomes.
If you and I were buddies in high school, uh-huh. Say we're 14 years old, 15 uh-huh. years old, and we know each other,
uh-huh.
would I bet on you being who you are today?
No chance.
Really?
No chance.
Tell me why.
I mean, I had my good friends, and you know, we hung out, and I was a hustler. There's no question I was a hustler.
Even in high school?
Oh yeah, and into business in a big way. But I don't think people saw to me. It wasn't like people looked at me and go, oh, he's destined to succeed. I was into sports, I wasn't great at it. I was just decent. Wasn't a technology guy. I mean, I was into learning. I was a business guy. I was the guy reading about business all the time, reading business books all the time. You know, I started my first business when I was 12. I was buying and selling baseball cards, buying and selling stamps. Anything I could do to make money, I was hustling and trying to do. So I was into business, but I not so much where it was, all my friends were into it with me, so they wouldn't know. Go up, buy a bunch of baseball cards that I collected, and I would charge three times as much, and I'd set up on this park bench down in the park down in Scott Township where I grew up, and I'd have these little sales, and it was great. I made money, and I learned as much about business when I was 9, 10, and 12 as I learned any other time. I looked at it just, hey, this is the home affinity. It wasn't like, okay, these were going to be valuable at some point. So, yeah, but it was just, you know, it was just a means.